Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, I'm Callum Stoneman and welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, our weekly chance to get together and explore what's going on in the world of technology, both accessible and maybe not so accessible. If you want to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you. techtalk@rnib.org.uk is our email address. You can send a written email or attach a voice note. We'd love to hear your voice as well. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. This week, we'll hear about the project making paintings accessible through music. We'll find out all the latest goings on from Sight Village Wales. Plus, we'll have an update from Travel Hands. That's coming up this week. We don't have Dave with us this week, but we do have Hubert Pavalkovich, Jackie Brown and Natalie Curran. Welcome in to you guys. Hubert, I'll come to you first. What's going on with you? Anything new?
One for the gamers. The Nintendo Switch 2 information has been dropping, including accessibility features, which is nice to see because I've always wondered how accessible these consoles are. From the portable side of things, and this particular console has got text-to-speech in a limited capacity, mind you, because it's only for settings and the home screen and such, to a certain extent, chats. It also has options to change display colours and font size and visual settings of that sort. So it's not maybe a full-blown accessibility suite, but I'm glad to see steps in the right direction here.
This is always the challenge with them, isn't it? The accessibility of the console, and then you've got all the, you know, the platform, but then you've got the games themselves. So I'm guessing in this case, the screen reader would be enough to get you into a game, but then from then, it's still dependent on the game's accessibility, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, you're still kind of hoping that the game developers will add accessibility. So it's one of these things where I always look at this as it's not perfect, but it's certainly better than nothing, and it steps in the right direction, which I love seeing because, you know, ideally, yeah, we all want the perfect product, but let's face it, perfection can be the enemy of progress sometimes. So I think being able to see improvements in the right direction is a real positive for me.
Yeah, I mean, at least now the products, you know, the screen readers and the accessibility features, the visual adjustments and things are all there. So hopefully developers, game developers can tie into that. So we'll definitely watch that with interest. Jackie, how are things?
Well, this week I'm going a little bit self-help. I mean, I'm putting a document together of all the resources that are out there, or as many of them as I can find. So please do drop a line to us if there are any that you think we should add to self-help, you know, crib sheets, you know, keystroke compendiums for all the screen readers, for all the, you know, phones like iOS and TalkBack, Windows, NVDA, JAWS, ChromeVox, Amazon Fire Voice View. So everything that's out there, I'm trying to kind of put it in one document with all the links in it to different categories. I'm doing it as part of my work to share with my colleagues, but I think it would be, you know, quite nice to be able to share it with anybody that wants a copy of it. I'm going to put it on my website as a blog post. And it just means that there's a lot out there. If you are really struggling with your device, or you want to have a course online, or you want to download some material, it's really good that there is so much stuff written for blind people by blind people that you can tap into. So I just think that is, you know, what I've been concentrating on this week. And hopefully there is a lot more than you would think. There are websites from like Mystic Access, Hartgen Consultancy, Jonathan Mosen's got loads of courses still, even though he works for the National Federation. But there's so much stuff out there now. You've got Hadley, you've got Perkins School for the Blind, National Braille Press, the American Printing House, and so it goes on. So trying to put them into one document where there's loads of links, I think might be worth having a go at.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tall ask, isn't it, with all these different platforms and screen readers and operating systems and gestures. But yeah, you're right. There's so much out there. It's just finding it, especially if you're new to sight loss as well.
Exactly.
It's hard to keep track of everything, I think.
Yeah, that's what I found.
I mean, we talk about companies like, I don't know, Humanware and the American Printing House and, you know, Hartgen Consultancy to some extent, you know, all these different companies that are doing amazing work and putting amazing resources out there. But we, I guess we have a bit of a luxury, don't we, of knowing about these companies. But if you don't, if you're still finding out what a screen reader is, you're not going to know about all these other places that are out there to learn more about it. So,
and if you buy a new phone, you know, you want to start from the beginning. You're a new user, and there are still a lot of people out there who, as you say, have got sight loss, have been diagnosed, and they're thinking the world has come crashing down. Where do they start with this stuff? Where do they go to get help and support? Yeah. And it's not always feasible to have a family member or a friend to come round to your house at the drop of a hat and just help you when you're stuck. So a lot of stuff is out there. It's available. And I'm just calling it Horses for Courses, a guide to self-help.
Nice.
So if you fancy doing something, yeah, but if you fancy doing having a course, a lot of the stuff you have to pay for, but at least there are people out there that have written the materials. And there is a lot of free stuff out there as well. So I'm trying to get that together. So that's what my project is at the moment.
You just reminded me then about saying about how it's not always feasible to have a family member around. I was getting in touch with my broadband provider this week because I had a bit of an issue. And it was the usual thing. I rang up tech support. And whether you're blind or not, I always feel like when you ring tech support and you've already done the basic troubleshooting steps and you know what you're doing, trying to get past this whole, okay, have you restarted this? Have you restarted that? Have you checked that the wires are plugged in? Yes, I've done all of that. But then they asked the classic question of, oh, so the lights on your router, what are they showing? I said, oh, actually, I'm blind. You know, I can't tell you. Oh, could you get someone round to have a look? Well, no, not really. You've got all the tech to do the tests at your end.
Yeah, it is annoying. Yeah. Well, let's try and promote self-help a little bit, because it can be really, really frustrating. If you live on your own, you're in a rural area, or you just don't have that many family members who can travel a distance to come and help you with something. And it could be something really basic, like you might have accidentally done a tap on a phone and turned on screen curtain and you don't know how to get it off, or you've muted speech and you don't know how to put it back on, or you've done something with your magnification. There is a huge amount of help out there, and that's what I'm trying to put it all into possibly one area.
Okay, amazing. Natalie, anything caught your eye this week?
You're making me laugh there though about the different lights things. I've been in exactly that situation, and maybe that's something they could try and include in guide dog training. Like, raise your right paw if it's a green light and raise your left paw if it's a red light. Because it's so frustrating.
I'm sure if there's a dog biscuit on offer, they will do it.
See if you can get Caesar to do that.
I'll keep you posted next week, shall I?
Because even if you've got a friendly neighbour you don't mind asking, it feels ridiculous to go around and say, hey, could you just come and look at my box and tell me what light is showing? Okay, cool, it's green. Bye. Yeah. But yeah, what's caught my attention this week, this is actually going to sort of piggyback Everett's idea of gaming, and this is one more for the word geeks like me out there who like a good word puzzle. For a while there was a really big hype around Wordle, which is a game where you have it's a five letter word and you have five attempts to guess what the word is, and each time it tells you, you know, is that letter in it? Is that in the right place? That kind of thing. And at least to anybody using voiceover, it wasn't accessible. But it was bought by the New York Times, and they've created other games. And my friends thought that the game Connections might be accessible, and it turns out it is. At least the online version is. The app doesn't appear to be, at least not to me. It's kind of what it says in 10. There's 16 words, and you have to group them into groups of four, kind of guessing what the connection is between them. So, for example, the words might be ball, trainer, goal, grass. So you might group them together as four. You might not know exactly what the clue is, the connection is, but you'll select each of those four words and then you'll hit submit. And then you'd get a wee happy ding that says first connection, football, and it'll read it out to you. And you get four guesses. And like I said, that's it's accessible if you're using sort of Zoom or magnification, because that's what my friend uses. And it's also accessible if you're using VoiceOver, at least on an iPhone and, like I said, on the web version.
Yeah, because I know Wordle, there was a few workarounds, wasn't there, to make it accessible. I think I remember some. I never got into it, to be honest. I don't think I'm smart enough for Wordle, but I remember there was a way of. I think it was like a browser extension or something that you could install, and it somehow made those little boxes accessible. But I remember people sharing it on social media, and it used to put in those emojis, didn't it? So it would say like, Wordle for today, and then it was just three red square, four yellow square, two green square. I'm like, I don't have a clue what this is. Yeah, that's nice to know that that's accessible.
It's a shame because when I looked at Wordles, I thought, oh, maybe they've updated it. Maybe that'll be more accessible now. It's been a few years since I've looked at it. And it's a shame because, ironically, the explanation's really accessible.
Oh, is it?
They have images all with alt text and stuff that explain what different things will look like and happen. And then the main page just falls over.
So close, but so far, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, let us know if you've been, if any of the gaming news from the last few weeks interests you with Nintendo or with connections. And if you've got any tips or any resources for Jackie's self-help guide as well, definitely get in touch with that. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. All right. Stay with us. This is Tech Talk.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and we're here at Psych Village Wales 2025 in Cardiff. I'm delighted to be joined by Paul Hopkins from Queen Alexandra Charity. Paul, welcome back. Croeso nôl I Gaerdydd.
Ashamai?
Oh, gwych. Diolch yn fawr iawn, ati.
That's about all I can do. So, croeso to you, and thanks for coming and supporting us as usual. So, I know that surprised you maybe, that I know a tiny smattering of Welsh
very
words.
Impressed.
Thank you.
Well, tell us, what can people expect from Psych Village Wales this year?
I think Psych Village Wales, well, we're back is after 2 years, so we come every 2 years. I'm expecting, most importantly, the thing that we always hope for, which is that people come here, find out what the latest and greatest is around technology, new innovations, but also traditional sort of services and products that just need to be updated on. So I've just seen people from... the health service in Wales, it's really good to have them along, for example, because people don't always know what they can get around appointments and alt formats and that kind of thing. You can hear already it's starting to rev up a little bit and get a little busier. So we're hoping lots of people will come and connect with each other and just chill out. I think that's the space we try to create, really, a place where people can come and connect, chill out, find each other, and especially recognising that Wales has lots of more remote areas where vision impaired people do find it harder to connect. So this is our little kind of offer to you guys to help ensure that people can have that biannual connection, I suppose. And of course there are other things too, but this is a really great way of pulling people into one place, I think.
And you mentioned it's been 2 years since the last event. What are some of the products and services that are here today that maybe people wouldn't have been able to get hands on with and find out about 2 years ago?
I mean, talking the very broadest sense, I would imagine that things like AI is kind of creeping into a lot of what we've got. So certainly in terms of software now, and some offerings around mobility devices, a lot of them are utilising and implementing artificial intelligence into their offer. That would be one thing I think would be noticeable. I won't be too specific about information and things because I think that it's important to people to come and find out at Psych Villages for themselves. But I think, as I said, a broad comment that artificial intelligence is one of the biggest things that's going to really change and enhance, hopefully, what we get and access to the world around us, really. That's been my biggest thing I've noticed.
And it's a big year ahead for QAC. You've got an awful lot of Site Village events coming up. Cardiff is just the first.
Yes, honoured to be in Cardiff as the first port of call. And then we've got the next one will be Site Village in Scotland again, so returning to Scotland and Glasgow in May. And then we've got Site Village Central, which is in Birmingham for 2 days. And then there'll be Site Village North East and North West, which will be Leeds and Blackpool. And of course then London in November, which is going back to a 2 day event. So hooray, we're very excited about that. And we just love coming out and bringing our offer to people that wouldn't otherwise be able to get to it, not be able to travel the distances required. So it's why we're delighted to come out and be a conduit for everyone to get together, really.
And it makes a massive difference, doesn't it, getting the chance to actually come and be hands-on and getting to grips with a product that you may have heard about online and read all about, but getting hands-on with it makes a big difference.
Yeah, it is. It does. And again, I mean, that is a huge part of it. But also the people just buy a table and commit to us for the season or even part of the season is so important for us all, really. And I must admit, I've said this a lot with you guys and elsewhere, that I'm very heart-centred around Site Village. It's something that I've always been involved in, both as a punter and as a member of staff in my own work role. And so Site Village has always been very close to my heart. And it does what it says on the tin. And it's, again, all about people, as you said, getting to see all the latest and greatest, the traditional things that they might need. You know, you literally can go through the whole plethora of what the VI community is made up of, and most importantly, it's people, I think, all in one place.
Paul Hopkins, enjoy the rest of today, enjoy the rest of Site Village.
And again, thank you to you, Hal, in particular, and R&IB for their continued support of us and promoting and being available to us. It's very much appreciated.
Dim problem. Diolch yn fawr iawn, Paul.
All right.
My name's James Fossey, and the company's Optilec. We do have a couple of sub-brands as well. So we're distributed for Orcam and Schweitzer, which are a German optical company. And my job title is a sales and marketing manager.
So we're here at Site Village Wales today. Can you run us through some of the fantastic products you've got here with you?
So we've got an array of products, all for people with obviously visual disabilities, and they range from optical magnifiers through to electronic magnifiers. And then some of them are more desktop-based electronic magnifiers, but the advantage of that is you can do hobbies and things underneath them. And then we've got some text-to-speech machines like the Orcam and some other machines that will magnify and read. It does both. So the Compact 10 is a good example of that.
And when people come to the table, do they know what they're looking for, or is it a case of somebody knows what they want to do but don't necessarily know what technology is available to help them to do it?
So normally what we do, normal people that come to the stand, they normally have a specific problem. So reading the TV times or reading cooking instructions, our job is to find the best solution to solve their need. And that normally involves the environment they're using the equipment and their level of sight. So it's all very well saying, yeah, this electronic magnifier will work for you, but then find that their eyes aren't good enough for magnification at all. So part of our job is more actually finding the right equipment for the need. And normally we can solve that need, but then enlighten the person that actually they can do a lot more with the equipment than just read the tin of beans.
So. And on the table today, an array of products from sort of high tech to low tech, all different types. What's been most popular?
Again, still early on, the most popular one is generally the Compact 10 and the Orcam Read. Most people that see our optical magnifiers, they get issued through them free through the hospital anyway. So we supply the hospitals with those. But again, they're always popular because it's entry level.
And the Compact 10, what does that do?
So it's a 10-inch. It looks a bit like an iPad. It's a magnifier. It'll magnify text up to 30 times. It's got a unique swing-out arm, which means you can do things like write underneath it, do crosswords, things like that. But it will also read a full page of text to you as well.
And things obviously always changing in technology. What are some of the new trends and the new items that are coming out that people are maybe excited for?
So the AI features in a lot of the machines is coming on quickly and fast, and that just makes it an easier operation for the user. So rather than having to scan a document, you can say, how much was this bill for? And it saves you having to use your eyes to obviously scan that document and then magnify it. You can just ask it. But principally, most things are just getting smaller. Not always a good thing, I might add.
And for people not able to make it along to an in-person event like this, where's the best place to find out more about all of the products you have on offer?
All of our products can be found at lowvisionshop.co.uk. We also do free home demonstrations as well. So if somebody can't get here today, we'll go to their house. It's totally no obligation. And we'll go through the solutions with you there as well.
That's great. Thanks very much for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
You're welcome. Nice to meet you.
My name is Stuart. I'm the marketing assistant for SightLife. I've been in post for a year now. I have no eyesight whatsoever, so I love being able to add value to my role as a totally blind person within a charity for visually impaired people. It's a brilliant opportunity. We cover Swansea, Cardiff, Neath, Port Talbot and Rhondda and Taff. So we've got 15 staff in total. We've got approximately 100 volunteers. We do a whole range of activities in and outside of our building for our blind and partially sighted members, running from doga, which is yoga for people with their guide dogs, to a ramblers group, to a photography group, to a singing group. We've got a creative writing and poetry group as well, just to name a few.
And we're here at Sight Village Wales today. What do you hope to get across to the visitors and the people you speak to during the event?
What we would ideally like to get across is our message that life is not over after sight loss. There's lots you can achieve. There's still lots of value you can add as a VI person to your community, also nationally as well. You can fly the flag, as it were, for VI people as a visually impaired person yourself. We also want to be able to raise awareness of our organisation and just to let people know where we are. And we also are keen to collaborate with other organisations in the sector, you know, well, in all three sectors, really, public, private and voluntary, just to, that's part of our mission and our values, is to be open-minded, innovative and to collaborate.
And what sort of people are using SightLife services and joining their groups usually?
Wow, good question. A whole remit of demographics. So we've got, we get inquiries for younger people, older people, anywhere from younger children all the way up to some people that are over 100. We got people that have just lost their sight. We got people that have got high levels of anxiety, depression. We got people that want to try and gain employment, so we try and signpost them for that. We've got some people that are really independent in the context of their disability, and we've got other people that need a bit of confidence building and a bit of empowerment.
A lot of the stands and stores here at Sight Village Wales are talking about technology, high-tech, low-tech. Is there a piece of technology that you use most often or makes the biggest difference to your everyday life?
Well, I have recently discovered a free app that I've got on my iPhone now. Other phones are available. I'm not on commission, but I've always used an iPhone with VoiceOver on it. Being completely blind, it's my way of interacting with everything. And I've recently found an app that was on the Apple Viz newsletter, which I subscribe to, and that is called Ally, Ally, Everywhere AI. Now, I've only been using it for a couple of weeks now, but I've already, so with the AI app that's free, it's made by OpenAI, the organization, and I'm tailoring it to me, what I like, what I don't like, my hobbies, interests, and all that kind of thing. And so far, that has been excellent. It also interacts with the camera as well. So unlike other apps where you have to tap the screen to get it to tell you how many calories are in a product or what the product is that's in your cupboard, you can achieve it just with your voice. So far, I'm very impressed with that particular app. But again, there are other brilliant apps out there.
Well, can you tell us just a little bit more about SiteLife and the way that people can find out more about what you're up to and how they can get involved?
Yeah, sure. So you can come into our office on Womanby Street in Cardiff. We're opposite the Tiny Rebel pub or next door to the Cardiff Arms pub. Or you can phone us on 02920 398900, or you can email us at ask@sitelife.wales. That's ask@sitelife.wales. Or our website, which is sitelife.wales. But we really like you to get in touch if you want to know more about the support we can offer people in the Cardiff, RCT, Swansea and Neathport Talbot area of South Wales.
Stuart, enjoy the rest of your day here at Site Village Wales, and thanks very much for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks for your time, Hal.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, if you have ever wanted to experience classic paintings with sight loss, but you weren't able to, well, now there is a way for you to do it. And it's a quite a unique way because you can experience it through music. What am I talking about? Well, we are about to find out exactly what this is, as joining me to talk about this is our Head of Inclusive Design at RNIB, Robin Spinks, and composer Bobby Golder. Bobby and Robin, thank you both for joining us.
Pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
So, Robin, can we start with you first? Can you give us a bit of background on this?
Sound of a Masterpiece is basically about the most famous artworks being reimagined in immersive audio for people who are visually impaired. And it's a collaboration between Zeno Dolby and Bobby Golder, who we're very lucky to have with us today, and RNIB also acting as technical advisor and also helping to share news of the project among the community. And then also delighted to be benefiting from the downloads and streams.
How does the process work of identifying the musical pieces to reimagine the classic pieces of art?
It was a very, very difficult decision or set of decisions to kind of hone it down to just seven. Obviously, we would have loved to have approached, you know, many more pieces of art to kind of reimagine in a kind of musical sonic way. But the key really for this first album was to find as much diversity as possible in terms of the ways in which to approach different techniques. So we tried to have a range of different artists from around the world and across, different periods of history and different artistic genres as well.
Are you able to give us a bit of an example as to, for example, what musical pieces were picked to represent what elements, kind of what we can expect from the album?
We have seven pieces in total, they are all responses to classic artworks such as the Mona Lisa, Monet, Water Lilies, The Bigger Splash by David Hockney, The Scream. Quite classic, famous works. And what you can do is, there are, I think, around 2 million of us visually impaired or blind people in the UK and around 300 million worldwide. Who might struggle to kind of pick up on all the visual detail involved in a work of art. So you can listen to the pieces that we've created, and with the help of Dolby Atmos, we've been able to kind of create a fully immersive sonic experience to bring listeners in to the to some of the feelings and emotions and historical context of the art as well. I'll use the Monet for as an example. It's an impressionist work, and a lot of those ideas were closely linked to the music of Claude Debussy. So I created a sort of Debussy-esque piano, sort of rippling piano effect, and then with the help of Dolby Atmos and a range of sound techniques, we kind of replaced some of that music with water droplets and kind of blended it all in, and then spaced it around the sort of sonic spectrum, sonic palette, so you can really kind of sit and immerse yourself in a kind of 3D sound world.
Now, Robin, have you had a chance to get some feedback from blind and partially sighted people who have had a listen to this?
We have. I mean, we've started to receive feedback from people already, which has been really positive. I think one of the things that is quite clear to us is that, everyone's got their own interpretation of a work of art. So, you know, for one person, something might have a particular meaning. There might be a sonic association with that piece of art. And for someone else, it might be something different. But I think that the broad piece of feedback we've had so far is that people love the concept of, you know, a sonic association with a piece of art. So if you are low vision and you've got some useful vision, that can be helpful. But equally, if you're someone who's lost their sight, and you've maybe been an art lover when you were sighted, you know, isn't it great to be able to have something that might evoke memories, that might also enable you to gain a new perspective on the piece in question? And I think, you know, two kind of statistics that are really interesting that came from recent research. One is that almost half, 46% of Brits, don't feel like they can fully appreciate art. So half the population are openly saying that they don't feel like they can fully appreciate art. But what's even more interesting statistic is that more than half, 51% of Brits, agree that linking artwork to sensory experiences such as sound would make it more engaging. So right away, you can see there that people don't feel like they've got the appreciation of art, but actually one of the things that will really help them is sound. Now, if you extend that to a blind and partially sighted population, it's very likely that that will also hold true. And people tell us openly that they love the idea of being able to associate sound with a particular picture. I mean, think about the favourite pieces of music that you have personally. And in almost all cases, they will actually bring to the front of your mind a memory. Maybe it's a person, maybe it's a place, maybe it's even a feeling that you had. Or, you know, maybe it's the weather conditions in a particular part of the world. So sound and pictures go together hand in glove. And I think this is a beautiful demonstration of what you can do to extend and to heighten the kind of sensation that there is around that and heighten the feelings and the emotions around artwork and around music itself. So we're really pleased with the feedback that we've had, and we're looking forward to hearing what people have to say as they try it out.
Bobby, let's come back to you and talk about kind of your personal experience. How was it for you to be able to bring such visual classics to life with music?
It was a really, really interesting project to be involved in. Probably one of my favourite things I've worked on in recent years. On the one hand, there was quite a lot of pressure to sort of, you know, if you imagine being given the task of like, create what the Mona Lisa sounds like. You know, that's quite a daunting thing, because it's such an iconic, such a globally famous and globally well-loved, well-visited piece. On the other hand, it was quite freeing, because all of these pieces are so subjective, and people get so many, there's such a range of responses you can have, that there really isn't a wrong answer to it. So it was great to just fully use my imagination, try and learn as much about the pieces as possible, so that I would be kind of best informed in terms of creating music and soundscapes that will be most appropriate for the works.
Is this something you would like to continue in the future, you know, being able to bring visual art to life in this sort of fashion?
Absolutely. I think, you know, like I said earlier on there in the interview, there are just 7 pieces on this album, but there was a long list of, you know, 20, 30, 40 pieces that we could have chosen from. And in almost all cases, I was, you know, excited at the idea of what type of sound and what type of music could be created to sort of go alongside those. And that's just thinking about artwork. You know, we can expand it into other visual arts like sculpture or even dance. You know, there's so much visual and physical art out there that can be enhanced, augmented, better accessed by kind of combining it with this sonic experience as well.
If there's one piece of art you would love to bring to life through music that you haven't done yet, what would it be?
Maybe I would have loved to have worked on a Van Gogh. So yeah, I think the 8th piece that didn't quite make it in was Starry Night. Everybody knows the classic Don McLean song, but there's there were lots of ideas going around my head for that one.
And Robin, if people would like to experience this for themselves, listen to the album and be able to get a audio representation of these great classics, how can they do that?
Yeah, you can stream or download Sounds of a Masterpiece from Apple Music, Amazon Music, and also Tidal. And we'd love to hear what you think of it. Maybe as a little bit of an experiment, maybe take a listen. And if you can do, take a look simultaneously at the work of art and tell us what you think. Tell us how you feel.
And if people would like to tell you how they feel and give you some feedback on this, where can they go to do that?
You can get in touch with RNIB by calling the RNIB helpline on the usual number, 0303 123 9999, or indeed by coming to the website and sending us an email, helpline@rnib.org.uk.
Robin Spinks, Head of Inclusive Design at RNIB, and composer Bobby Golder, thank you very much both for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio from CSUN 2025. I'm with Wasson, who is the Chief Technical Officer with Giga, who make one of many sets of smart glasses that have been shown at CSUN this year. And we're keen to hear what is unique about the Giga product. Wasson, why don't you just tell us a little bit more about what you have here today?
Thank you for visiting, Dave. Happy to introduce more. On a very high level, we make the glasses together with the blind and low vision community and for the blind and low vision community. So we heard a lot of comments regarding reading needs, OCR, word by word. We heard a lot of needs about describing people in more details, transit information. So we try to take all those feedback, put them into these pair of smart glasses form factor that people like to wear that looks normal, regular. And take advantage of the latest and the greatest machine learning AI models and make it really benefit people.
Right, and those are the two key areas, form and function, right? So on form, you alluded to it there, that you are aiming to design a product that looks great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. We are not really saying we make the best looking great glasses, but we do want to try to make it look good and also regular. So it's not bulky, it's not a different form factor that looks weird. It's a regular type of glasses. We have a little bit features here and there, for example, clip-on sunglass shade. Some of the shades to help with shade lights at the side for low vision needs. But on high level, again, it's regular looking glasses.
Okay, and presumably you can change out the lenses for prescription lenses if you have eyeglasses that you need a particular lens for your eye condition.
Right, so in terms of prescription, we support that. Low vision prescription, also it can be transitioned based on the needs. Instead of transition, we could put in clear lenses embedded with the glasses, but put a clip-on type of shades for sunglasses.
Okay, we'll talk about some of the functionality in just a minute. I mean, you mentioned text and there's a couple of other things there as well. Am I able to just feel the glasses?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I just touch them so I can describe them for our listeners? Okay, so these do feel like regular sunglasses. Listeners will know that I've been playing a little bit with the Meta Ray-Bans. They've got a kind of a glossy finish. I also noticed there are a couple of little pads in the nose, you know, kind of area, I guess to give a little bit of cushioning there. And can I try them on?
Yeah, please, go ahead.
All right. Yeah, okay, 1 second while we do that. I'm just going to put the glasses on. I notice with the glasses,
yes,
we have got something hanging down from the back of the arms.
Right, that's a optional strap.
A strap.
Helps prevent you falling for our demo case.
Okay, so if you put them around your neck and then if you take, this is just for demo purposes?
It's for demo purposes and it's optional. Right. I'm going to wear that around your neck.
Right, okay. So if you just had these, and then, so are there speakers in the arms?
The speakers are on two arms, up and down, facing both up and down. If you touch it here, there's a speaker port here. There's something here too.
Right, okay. So is it multiple speakers or are they just two outlets for the...
One speaker on each arm, so two speakers in total.
Okay, and then at the front of each arm, I'm noticing on the top edge, there is a little button.
Right, this side button is for photo taking and video recording.
Okay, so the button on the left-hand side takes videos and makes photographs, and on the right?
This is the AI button.
Okay.
That basically engages with the AI. You can ask questions, start certain mode to describing things, or OCR.
Okay, can I try it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so do I hold the button or do I just press it?
If you press this one,
you
try to capture what's in front of you.
Yeah, okay.
Start describing.
I'm looking at you. I think it might take your photograph. Is that okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So I press the button. Oh, there's the camera sound. Okay, all right. So I heard the camera sound. I'm now hearing two tones.
So the way it works is trying to capture what's in front.
Yeah, so I think that's happened.
And based on what's in front.
Okay, she says, I'm sorry I can't help with describing or identifying people in images.
Oh, something's not working yet.
Is that because it's looking at you?
Yeah.
Maybe if I just look up, perhaps, away from the people and see what happens there. Okay. Excellent. So she said the image shows a sign with the name AGIGA, which is the name of your company, and the booth number 424. So that is genuinely useful. And now she's automatically repeating that. Can I stop her talking?
Yeah, if you double tap this side.
Okay, if I double tap, that stops talking, right? Okay, fantastic. Let me grab the microphone.
Yeah.
Okay, so that works pretty well. I mean, the first time, obviously, it needed a moment to connect, and obviously there's this issue about facial recognition. So how are you handling that just now?
Yeah, something's probably taking a lunch break, so it's not describing the person, but I'll get something working for you. This is actually our feature, so we let it describe in person in details.
Okay, so you would expect that to happen, okay.
So maybe the AI is on lunch break.
All right, so we've got the text recognition, the AI capability, and then... One of the reasons I came to talk with you is that I understand you are collaborating with our friends at Aira, which is the professional visual interpreter service.
That's right. So we work with Aira, and thanks for their support. We basically make it available, the Aira service on the glasses. I've been hearing feedback that people like voice control to quickly start Aira service. I've also heard people like the GPS locationing available in Aira service, so Aira knows where you are, they can help you navigate. Also, there's location-based coupon codes that's available. So that's what we make together with Aira available on the glasses.
So how do you connect to Aira using the glasses then?
Right. So you basically trigger the glass and say call Aira or call agent.
So this is obviously connecting to your smartphone then. Presumably you have an iPhone, is it?
So the smartphone is needed to set up the glasses in terms of Wi-Fi and some of the TTS speed, those preferences, but we don't need the phone doing operation. For example, right now we are connected to Wi-Fi, it doesn't need anything running on the phone.
Okay.
Also, if there's home Wi-Fi, it can be connected to home Wi-Fi. If it's outside, we can connect to phone's hotspot.
So where are we in terms of the roadmap? Because it does sound like there are a few things still to happen before you're ready. Are you on sale now or are you...
Yeah. I do want to highlight a live mode that people have been giving us praise about.
Yes.
Is that something you actually wanted to try or no?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to put this into live mode. I do is basically triple tap the same button that we've been doing.
Yes.
So it says live air. Yeah, it's ready and I'm going to let it start. I'm putting these glasses back to you and it will continuously describing the scene around us.
Okay.
And I'm on connecting the USB-C cable.
Right, okay.
So what this does is it will, in during the live mode, it continuously describes. If you move around, it will proactively catch up and try to describe.
Okay, so it's telling me there's a woman with a yellow paper. Behind them, there are some pieces of luggage. There's a man with glasses close to me on my left. The woman with the yellow paper is in front of me, and the luggage is behind her. So it's the man with the glasses no longer visible. So this is quite good. A Cellar Four is the name of a book that someone's holding. And I'm told there's a hallway. I'm going to look down at the table. There are two people sitting at a table with laptops and other electronics. There's also a person standing to the left of the table.
I'm showing a piece of paper with some description of Akiga glasses in front of you.
Okay, I'm just going to take the glasses off because so I can hear the voice. So can you change the voice at all?
Change meaning the speed or the tone?
Well, anything. Can you do, is it just the voice that you get? Can you change anything about the voice?
Right now, we only have one, but it's doable. The speed we can already change, so it can be faster or slower.
Okay. And is that maximum volume at the moment?
It's close to the maximum.
Yeah, so I could just about hear it. I mean, we're in a very noisy exhibition area, and sometimes those open speakers can be difficult to hear in this kind of setting. So they're doing pretty well to be heard in this situation. So in terms of the roadmap now, are you actually available for purchase?
Yes, so we are available for purchase. I mean, pre-order.
Pre-order, right. Pre-order. Okay, that's where we are. Right, okay. And so if somebody pre-orders today, how long do you expect it to be before they'll receive their glasses?
So our best estimate is summer. We can actually ship to early pre-orders earlier, but later ones will be a little bit later in the summer. Right now, the estimate is July time.
Okay. And how would you, if somebody has already got something like the Meta Ray-Bans, how would you compare yourself with a product like that?
Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily one of the two you have to get. You could get two, but instead of comparing apple to apple here, to kind of rephrasing and repeating what I mentioned earlier as the high level goal, we try to build with the blind and low vision group and try to help this same group. So we take the features and use cases that we heard from this community and basically make that happen. A few highlights is the live mode that we just tried. Person description is another one. Transit information, OCR, word by word. Those are our highlighted feature. And so far, during the demos here and earlier beta users, we've been hearing very positive feedback there. There's definitely improvements needed. We've been also actually collecting feedback here, what can be done. So with those, we're going to make it even better. That's where we see ourselves different from possible other products in the world.
Excellent. Okay. And of course, the question that everybody's going to want me to ask you.
What's the price? Thank you for asking that question. So right now for pre-order is 424, which is our actually booth number in Sisan. And the full price is 599. Depending on when you order, if it already ended the pre-order discount price at Sisan, the pre-order price is 449.
Okay, and if listeners would like to learn more about the Akiga glasses, what's the best way to do that?
Please reach out to us. We are at echovision.agiga.ai, so echovision.agiga.ai, that's our website. We have our email contact, which is contact@agiga.ai, so again, agiga.ai.
Cool, and are these available in the UK yet?
We've got questions from UK and actually pre-orders from UK. So the way that it works, so I have to apologize for not be able to figure out all the regulations around the summer shipping time for UK. So some of the pre-orders that from UK, actually what they plan to do is to ship to US and take that or forward that to UK.
Excellent. Well, it's been fantastic to learn all about the Giga smart glasses, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more about you as those pre-orders start being delivered. Thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for the opportunity. And please help me say hello to all these audience and ask them to send me feedback.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and we are here at the SafetyCon 25 event, all about safety for blind and partially sighted people. Joining me is Ishan from Travel Hands. Ishan, welcome back to RNIB Connect Radio.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So for people that don't know, can you just give us a brief reminder of what Travel Hands is?
So Travel Hands is a charity which runs an innovation of the same name. Travel Hands helps visually impaired people, or VIP, as we fondly say, find sighted and verified volunteers to go from point A to point B in the city or do activities outdoors together.
When it comes to activities that the volunteers can help guide people to, can you clarify what activities the volunteers are happy to assist with and what activities simply cannot be supported, just to clarify for listeners?
Yeah, we usually support outdoor activities of all kinds. So it could be either going for appointments to healthcare centers. It could be work-related activities. It could be going to a park, going for a coffee, going for a walk, or shopping. People have done boat rides with Travel Hands, theater shows, comedy shows. The only condition is that, like, while booking a journey, we request you to share as much detail as about the journey itself. What do you expect? What do you want? And that information is relayed to all the volunteers. So the more information you give, the more accurate information, the more chances to get a right match.
So if a volunteer was to take you to, let's say, a theater show, do they stay with you through the show? Or is it a case of you book one volunteer to take you there and you book another volunteer to come pick you up at the end? How does it work?
So again, it depends on what you request for. So if we say, as a carer, there's a free ticket to the theater show. And if a volunteer can help me and join the show with me, and you know that information is relayed to all the people. If you say, I want to be dropped to the theater place and then picked up after like a few hours from that place, that's a different request. So whatever the VIP requests is relayed to the people, and then that is, you know, responded to.
During your talk, you mentioned something quite interesting, and that's the next of kin feature. Can you explain to us how that works?
In the current system, when a volunteer reaches a VIP's location, they start the journey, and that means the location of the volunteer is shared with our backend team. So a customer service team is always monitoring the journey as it progresses for safety reasons. Now, we realized that a lot of people, friends and family members of the VIPs, they want to know. They're keen to know how the journey is progressing, what's happening and whatnot. And there were other reasons as well, like booking a journey. So a lot of people were calling on behalf of the VIP. But what we're doing is adding a next of kin feature where the next of kin can download the app, register, and be connected with the VIP they want to, they want to cater to. It could be booking a journey, doing the payment on behalf of the VIP, or just monitoring the journey as it progresses in the app when the VIP is active in a journey.
Do you support group bookings for Travel Hands in a similar way?
We do have events, but we, even if it's group bookings, we engage a volunteer with a VIP. Maximum a volunteer can handle two other VIPs. So, yeah, I mean, the whole purpose is to make sure there's a companion all along the journey from, you know, point A, which could be the point of comfort for the VIP, to reach point B, where the VIP feels they want to reach, or point of comfort they want to be dropped off at. We do take group bookings, but it's still individual basis, and then a VIP, two VIPs could be accompanied by a volunteer.
You've mentioned a certain project you are hoping to work on, which involves AI. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, we realized that booking a journey is such a big challenge in the current app. Challenge as in like it takes a long time because with the assistive tech, it just moves through one field to the other. And then usually what we have seen, it takes about 8 minutes to book a journey for a VIP, which is tough. So we thought, why not make it an audio-based chatting system so the VIP could interact with our Travel Hands AI chatbot and book a journey. Say, hey, I want to go on XYZ date at 11 a.m. from here to here. And then the chatbot would say, brilliant, like that's a good plan. I need more information, like how long do you need the volunteer for? Or what would you prefer, let's say, and so on and on. So make it a more interactive, itinerary planner, plus have our Travel Hands volunteers accompany that conversation. So the chatbot would say, I have booked the journey request. It has gone through 3 volunteers nearby, and as soon as there's a confirmation, I'll let you know.
At what stage is this project? When could this possibly be available?
We aim to get this done within 6 to 8 months from now, primarily because we have been selected to be part of Force for Good program by JP Morgan. So they have provided us best of the best engineers in AI who are going to help us achieve that goal. And with that, there's more confidence in our team and say, okay, in 6 months, we can definitely reach a point where people can interact with the system. Now, it's a plan. It does come with its challenges, but I am quite sure that it is doable in the next 6-8 months.
And if people would like to find out more information about Travel Hands, where can they go?
Well, they can reach our... the easiest way is if you can type Travel Hands in Google, we are there at the top. But travelhands.co.uk is our website, and we have our phone number 020-3966-1650, which is active from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on the weekdays. So you can reach us out through these ways, and you can also email us at imvip@vipworldservices.com.
Fantastic. Ishan from Travel Hands, thank you very much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you. Pleasure's mine.
That's all we've got time for this week. Thanks for being with us, as always. If you like the show, if you've got any comments, questions, tips, suggestions, please get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. As always, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, and do share the podcast as well if you like what you hear. Until next week, from me, Callum Stoneman, Hubert Pavalkovich, Jackie Brown and Natalie Curran, bye for now.
See you next week.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.